Good morning. Okay. The last Lord's Day, we looked at the Passover lamb. Not last Lord's Day, but last time I taught. We looked at the Passover lamb as the means of redemption from slavery of sin. So we think about the cross. And piggybacking right off of that, close behind that, we also looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And with a view to putting away sin, the leaven representing sin. And so we think about these things as we partake of the Lord's Supper with our unleavened bread. The summary of the Feast of Israel, the gospel is preached. As we look back in the Old Testament, these things were written for our learning. And these things are shadows and types and figures of the time in which we now live. And so the more we can understand what we're reading in the Old Testament, we see how it pertains to us in our age and gives us great hope. And so today we're going to continue on with the summary of these feasts of Israel that they partook in where the gospel is preached. And it's laid out for us in order in Leviticus chapter 23, if you want to turn there, Leviticus 23, and we'll be beginning at verse 9. And we're going to look at today the Feast of First Fruits. So Leviticus 23:9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give to you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." So there could be no first fruit harvest until they had entered the promised land, see, where there was a harvest to be reaped. So if we remember that the land is figurative, it's a type of Messiah's kingdom. So for us, it would be that when we enter Messiah's kingdom into Zion, that then there is going to be a harvest that can be reaped. You know, I like this. If you just look for a minute at Psalms 87, as far as entering into Zion, entering into the kingdom which the land represents, Psalms 87, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. "But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will count when he registers the peoples. This one was born there." Selah. So it means think on this, that we are born into Zion. And then we become the harvest of which we're speaking about today. So Zion is the land we think about, the Old Testament. They went and they took the land. When we are born into Zion, we possess that land. Now, before going any further, back to Leviticus 23, allow me to explain that some of the verses we're talking about that you'll understand when we read them. So they got into the promised land and had just finished celebrating the Passover feast. And then right behind that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we looked at those in our last lesson. And now this is followed by the Feast of First Fruits. And that's what we're going to look at today. So at the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, after the Sabbath rest had ended at sunset, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening, then the new day started. You see, the Hebrews calendar, the new day starts and the old day ends at sunset. So this is what's going on with them. Understand that to see what they're doing. So at this time, the beginning of the new day, the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, the people go into the fields and they gather samples of the first fruits of the harvest. And the next morning, they have taken these to the priest, And the next morning, the priest would burn these first fruits on the altar with the burnt offering. Once the first fruit offerings were accepted by God, then the rest of the harvest would be acceptable and the people could be partakers of the harvest. So let's pick up here again in Leviticus 23, verse 10. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord. So we see what's going on here now is they wave this sheaf of these first fruits bundled up here, the first fruits of the harvest. They wave it before the Lord. They want God to take notice of it. It's now the day after the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week. The same day Jesus rose from the grave. The burnt offering of the lamb with the first fruit of the harvest are burnt together on the altar that ties the Passover lamb to the first fruits. Verse 13. Its grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord, for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, a 1/4 of a gallon of wine, until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. So if you'll notice in verse 13, it was an offering to the Lord. But if you notice in verse 14, it was an offering of God, an offering of your God. So it was an offering to the Lord, and it was also an offering of your God. Well, we see this throughout the scriptures. Just as God provided the lamb for Abraham that was caught in the bush, God provided the sacrifice for himself. As well with Adam and Eve, that God made them clothing to cover their nakedness with skins. There's no doubt about it. When we look and tie everything together, it was it would have been the skin of a lamb, and that God offered a sacrifice on their behalf for their sins and covered their nakedness of their shame, not only with the clothing, but with the sacrifice. So it is in the substance of our age, of these shadows, he provided the lamb for us. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Jesus provides the sacrifice, and God accepts the sacrifice. If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep or dead. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ at his coming." So now we begin to understand the meaning and the importance of the first fruits that was offered to God. Why it was done? On the first day of the week, same day Jesus was raised as the first fruits from the dead. See, that's what Paul's telling us here. Jesus was raised as the first fruits from the dead. In verse 4, 1 Corinthians 15:4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Well, where do we see in the scriptures? So when the Bible says according to the scriptures, then it's talking about something in the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New Testament yet. So when you read according to the scriptures, he's saying this is spoken of back here. So we've got to find that. So I looked around for it. And where do you find, according to the scriptures, where it talks about Jesus being raised on the third day? I think it's right here in our context today, Leviticus 23:11. Leviticus 23:11. For he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, that's the first day of the week, the priest shall wave it. So, concerning the third day, as 1 Corinthians 15:4 brings out, concerning the third day, that was the day of the resurrection. That was the day after the Sabbath, as he brings out here, which is the first day of the week. And the third day since Jesus' death and the day of his resurrection. So you see here in verse 11 of Leviticus 23, he's fulfilling, so this is rather is what 1 Corinthians 15:4 is talking about, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is what this is saying. You look at it closely and you'll see it. Now, let's look at John 5:46. John 5:46. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how you believe my words? So Jesus tells us that Moses wrote about him concerning these things. If you look in Luke 24 and verse 27, Luke 24:27. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So these things in the scriptures concerning these things of Christ were from the writings of Moses, as is Leviticus 23, the writings of Moses. So it was the reality of Passover began with Jesus' death on the third day. Early that Sunday morning, when Jesus was being raised up, the priests were in the temple offering up the first fruits of the harvest. Think about that. They just thought it was like any other first day of the week, when they're this time of the month, when they're offering up the first fruits of the harvest. So the priests are in there offering up the first fruits of the harvest. At this very time, Jesus was raised from the dead and became the reality of the first fruits of the harvest of those who believe in him. As Passover pictures the Messiah as the lamb that was slain, so the first fruits pictures the Messiah as he who was raised up from the dead, the first fruits of those who die in him, as 1 Corinthians 15 brought out, that he then became the firstborn of many brethren. So the first fruits gave assurance that the rest of the harvest would be accepted by God. He shall wave the sheaf of the first fruits before God for the harvest to be accepted. The first fruits is a type of the Savior's resurrection and guarantees our acceptance in Christ. So we start to understand these things. Then this Leviticus 23 becomes much more interesting to us than just reading these things the Jews did and we're trying to figure out what's it all about. Why is it in here? 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us that Jesus was, among other things, he was vindicated in the Spirit. And what that's talking about is he was resurrected. So that he's showing that he was justified. He died for sins, but he was not a sinner. And he did not deserve to die. And so the Holy Spirit raises Jesus up from the dead, justifying him. This man did not deserve to die. But then we look in Romans chapter 4. Verse 25, it says, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So here you see, Jesus was raised to show that he was really justified, but he was also raised for our justification. As the first fruits. Let's go and look at Joel. So you got, if you can find Daniel, the major prophets, then you got Hosea, then you got Joel. So we're going to go to Joel chapter 1. J-O-E-L, Joel. For those that are hard of hearing, it's Joel, J-O-E-L. Chapter 1. Now, in this context, what you're going to see is that there was no first fruit offering. Now, this becomes very serious now that we've understood what the first fruit offering is about. There was no first fruit offering, and the reason there was no first fruit offering is because there was no harvest. And the reason there was no harvest is because there was no repentance. Let's read verse 9. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off. They're cut off. They're not going to be offered. Why? Verse 10. The field is ruined. Verse 11. For the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is destroyed. They had no harvest because there was no repentance. God did not give them a harvest. And as a result of no harvest, there could be no first fruit offering. This becomes very serious when we look at the reality of these shadows. we want to be part of the harvest and the first fruit offering of Jesus on our benefit, there must be repentance. We must be living repentant lives to be that harvest that when Jesus comes back with the holy angels, he's going to gather out of the field and he'll separate the chaff from the wheat. And if we want to be the wheat that is gathered as the harvest, because that's who the first fruit died for and was resurrected for, we must be living repentant lives. Or you'll see what happened here in the book of Joel. The picture of God redeeming a people for himself is seen in these feasts of Israel. Now we may just casually read through and not understand it and go on. But these feasts of Israel are for our learning. God's showing us the picture. He's drawing it out for us in the Old Testament so we can understand what we're reading in the New. In Passover that we looked at before, we seen the ransom of the soul. In the unleavened bread, we've seen the removal of sin. The removal of sin out of our lives. In the first fruits today, we see a resurrected Savior offered up as the first fruits. And together, these equal salvation. So closing, in Romans 15:4 says that the things written before, of which we're speaking today, the things written before were written for our instructions, so that through perseverance or patience and in the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The encouragement and hope is that Jesus is our Passover on Judgment Day. And he's going to be our first fruit offering for our acceptance on Judgment Day. So, brethren, understand these feasts of Israel and what they mean to us, and it will give you great hope and great encouragement. Thank you.